Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Right. Well, after all that, I'm joined in the studio for analysis by our own Niamh Lyons. And on the line is Kevin Doyle, Head of News with the Irish Independent. So, Niamh, what will Fine Gael members and the rest of Eoghan Murphy's coalition colleagues make of this news this morning?
It's a big one, isn't it? I mean, I'm thinking in particular Fionn Tán to Leo Varadkar. It's a blow, and it's a big blow, because it marks the crumbling away of his Praetorian guard, those people around him who got him to where he is now and who protected him all along. And as Eoghan Murphy was saying there in relation to the five-a-side club, initially, it began as a way to direct policy within the party, and it was the likes of him, John Paul Phelan, Anthony Lawler, Noel Harrington, these guys who were the brand new crop in 2011, who came in guns blazing, who had so much ambition and who wanted to ensure that the party's message wasn't diluted by going into coalition with Labour. But then it sort of changed, and they were really responsible, and Eoghan in particular was responsible for bringing in that new the younger element into the party and dropping dropping down a level from the old guard to the new. So I think for the Taoiseach, and you can even see it in his statement himself, he's really lamenting this departure. Also a big one for Oliver Callan. I won't be able to kind of skewer him on a weekly basis as Taoiseach. But I think there's a couple of really striking things that he said there. And I think alarm bells should be going off down in the Custom House based on what he said about the Department of Housing, because although he did insist that he doesn't see that Department of Angola, he described exactly the problem that major departments like health and housing have at the moment, when you have demand-led schemes and that no amount of money, no amount of investment can meet that demand. That's a huge problem. Okay. And the other area that he identified so well there is that now we have a new electoral battleground, and it's on social media and no one is controlling it. So, you know, anyone can feel free to abuse him any time of the day or night, or any politician. You know, this doesn't just happen to Fine Gael TDs. It happens to Sinn Féin TDs. It happens to people in Fianna Fáil. And that's not being controlled. And if we move to that space away from where it doesn't matter what happens inside the four walls of Dáil Éireann, and that all that matters is what you say and do on social media, look how that's working out in Britain and the US.
Well, Kevin Doyle, you were listening to all of that. What did you make of what Eoghan Murphy had to say? What stood out for you?
Well, I think if you were to take the whole thing in the round, and particularly his defence of housing, I mean, he did still sound like a politician when he was answering the questions around his successes and failures in the Department of Housing. And really what I took away from that was that his motto is kind of pick your battles, and particularly around things like co-living, where he admitted to making mistakes and perhaps investing too much personal energy into battles that he couldn't win. And I think that probably carries through to him deciding not to continue with his own political battle overall today, because, I mean, after the last election, it had kind of become obvious that there was going to be a squeeze when Fine Gael didn't get the numbers they wanted and were looking at a coalition with Fianna Fáil and the Greens, and it was likely that either him or Simon Harris were going to lose out. I don't think it's any secret that Leo Varadkar would have preferred to keep Eoghan Murphy. But with Simon Harris in health in the middle of a COVID pandemic and Eoghan Murphy's record in housing as it was, and some within the party blaming him for the way the election played out, I think it was inevitable that he was going to lose out in a cabinet position. So I think, you know, he puts up a good defence for his career. You asked him, did housing end his political career? I think it probably did in the short term. He says it didn't, but it certainly took him from the front line, where he was kind of with the Leo Varadkar, the Simon Coveney, the Pascal Donoghue's on the front line of Fine Gael's battle and ministerial presentation. And it did put him into the sidelines. And I suppose from there, he's decided to look outside and see what else is in the world. And notably, he said he's leaving Ireland by the sound of it as well.
All right, let's talk about what this triggers now, Niamh. This triggers a by-election in Dublin Bay South, which will be intriguing to say the very least. Tell us why.
Well, at the moment, there are no women elected in that constituency. It's quite a progressive constituency, and on first glance to me, it looks like it could be a seat for a woman. Now, there will have to be in Fine Gael a selection convention, and Councillor James Gagan, I think, would be seen for Fine Gael as kind of the front runner to take it if Kate O'Connell didn't put her name forward. So what she's thinking will be very interesting in this. I mean, James Gagan would probably have the support of Owen Murphy's supporters. But as we've seen in the past, in that very constituency, when Lucinda Creighton left the party in order to set up Renew, Fine Gael still managed to get two people over the line, despite mm-hmm. the fact that she was there. So we know Fine Gael supporters are able to switch loyalties very quickly and easily, depending on what the party brass tell them to. Also, Hazel Chu, someone who she's the Lord Mayor of Dublin. She's the Green Party chairperson. She's the person who recently ran as an independent for a Shannon seat. I think it'd be extraordinary if she didn't put her name forward or wish to try and contest the convention for the Green Party on that one. I would be surprised if Sinn Féin didn't run somebody, and I'd look at their senators for that, and I'd look at probably Lynn Boylan for that. And that would be an interesting one too, because there, in the future, there isn't two seats for any party in this constituency. There's only one seat each, really, no matter what way an election shakes out the next time. So whoever's there will then have to contest their colleague in the future. Fianna Fáil is also a very interesting one. Obviously, Jim O'Callaghan, someone who's mentioned as a future leader of Fianna Fáil, will he be told that he has to get somebody over the line? That would be a huge challenge for Fianna Fáil on 7% in Dublin. Or will they decide not to contest it at all and say, look, this is a Fine Gael seat, leave it to them? That might look a bit weak.
OK, so just to remind people, Dublin Bay South is currently Eamon Ryan for the Green Party, who topped the poll at 22.4% in February of last year. Then you've Chris Andrews, Sinn Féin, 16% there. Owen Murphy, not far behind, 16.03%. There wasn't much in it between those two. And then Jim O'Callaghan came in at 13.83%. So, Kevin, that seat, Owen Murphy's seat, is that a Fine Gael seat?
In theory, it is, but nothing is guaranteed in by-elections, and especially because history suggests that governments very rarely, or parties of government very rarely, win by-elections. So, as Niamh said, nothing is guaranteed. I suppose, like, if you were to pick any constituency in the country to have a by-election, if you were kind of a neutral observer who loves the political blood sport, this is probably high on your list because it is going to be a blockbuster by-election. For a start, as Niamh outlined, the fact that it's going to be primarily female candidates by the make of it. But two of the names mentioned there, there's no guarantee they'll even get through their party conventions, Kate O'Connell and Hazel Chu. So, I mean, I recall being on a radio panel in RTÉ only a few weeks ago with Kate O'Connell when Leo Varadkar's problems with the Gardaí and the investigation.
I heard it, yeah. You were on Brendan's programme, yeah.
And at that, she made a quite a sharp comment about when is Leo going to deliver for Fine Gael? He seems to be able to deliver for other people. And I don't think that will have gone unnoticed. So there is a lot of love there that is lost there between Kate O'Connell and the hierarchy in Fine Gael.
And
so for her to get through that...
Wouldn't that be extraordinary if he lost one of his key allies and that was replaced by one of his main critics? It would be
in Kate, but
we are skipping over a few steps there as well.
Well, Kevin Humphreys is with us. Another Kevin, Labour Party national organiser, former TD for Dublin South East, as it was then, and former candidate in this constituency of Dublin Bay South. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Claire.
What's your read of what will happen here, where the parties stand at the moment?
I think it is going to be a very interesting one for the general public. Fine Gael, from the last election, would have to be the strongest in there. I think they got 28% of the total first preference. So, but I think this is going to be a very good by-election for the Labour Party. Ivana Bakic will more than likely be our candidate, but we have certainly strength and depth with Dermot Lacey, Kevin Donoghue and Mary Friel. So three strong councillors supporting a candidate. So I'm not going to rule out that, you know, we will be in the mix. I think we will do much better than commentators expect. And depending on if Ivana comes through our selection process, which we sanctioned last night to go ahead, would be certainly in the mix there. It's a household name, very strong within Dublin Bay South.
Okay, so there's no doubt, but you're going to go for this one.
Absolutely, and like we will be in there and we will be going to win.
And what do you think of who the other candidates will be? We know that conventions have to happen, but when you look at Fine Gael, what are they likely to do?
I think probably Kate O'Connell will run James Gagan very close if she decides to run. She's like me, she's been out of politics now for over a year, so it is quite difficult to go back in there. I think Claire O'Connell will probably be the front runner for Fianna Fáil. Chris Andrews in the Sinn Féin fold. Chris Andrews is out of the Fianna Fáil stable. So I think they may have a difficulty in relation to fielding a candidate, and I wouldn't rule out Lynn Boylan that was mentioned there by Niamh Lyons. She could be an option. They haven't got strength and depth, and I think they will be looking at it on the basis of trying to protect their Dáil C. And I think, like, realistically, I think the battle, and I don't know whether your panel will agree or disagree on this, but I think the battle for the seat will be probably between Labour and Fine Gael.
What about Hazel Chew?
Hazel Chew is a strong one, but she will have to come through her own selection convention at the moment. They were on 22% for the last general election. Whether they actually would maintain that vote now or not is questionable.
Unless there is a chance that she could break away. She's being very strongly courted, as we read in the papers at the weekend, by the Social Democrats. Now, the Social Democrats have their own candidate in the area, Sarah Durkin, who ran, so I don't know how she'd feel about that. But for someone that high profile, for the chance of a so-called easy seat, it wouldn't be an easy contest. But what if she decided to completely break away altogether and go independent? I mean, I would imagine if she doesn't get through a convention, we've just seen her run independent on this occasion. Now, again, she'd have even less of a chance without the party machine behind her. But it's a big one for Eamon Ryan. It's a big decision there.
Yeah, because the
I have to throw in a wild card as well, which hasn't been mentioned at all, but is possible. Michael McDougall.
Yeah.
Okay.
A real return to the old.
I think Clare people, I think we're speaking very much inside the bubble. I think the general public at the moment will be consumed over the next 6 months with the pandemic and the return of the housing crisis. And I think Fine Gael's track record, especially within the consistency on housing, will be an issue. Like in the inner city, the Irish Glass Bottle House site, which they had promised would be resolved, which wasn't. And then with Owen mentioned themselves, which are very strong issues, is Airbnb and co-living, which are very key issues inside
and the other issue, and you mentioned the pandemic there, is how an election will happen, Niamh, in a pandemic.
From what I've heard of that document that is under preparation, I don't think door-to-door canvassing is something that they want to see. Certainly the type of hustings that you would see. I think a lot of it would be played out on the media, and again, on social media, there would be kind of debates. But in terms of the likes of town hall gatherings, that's just not going to be possible. Even if we are as vaccinated as we expect to be by October, November, if you're not seeing matches going ahead in stadiums, you certainly won't see politicians knocking on doors. So it could be all very strange, kind of people outside train stations, you know, people, I don't know, standing in the middle of the triangle in Sandymount waving. That could be about as close as people are allowed to get to one another. And there certainly won't be any rush to get back onto the doors per se. But I mean, that is the most effective way of winning a seat, as people know. So what alternative they come up with there will be an interesting one.
Kevin Humphreys, I didn't ask you what you thought about what Owen Murphy had to say in his decision.
I think it was a very difficult. I've known Owen Murphy for the last 12 years since he came into politics. Now, we would have had very strong disagreements in relation to policies, but I'm probably sad to see him leaving politics at this stage. It's a difficult one, and I think it's difficult for any politician, and I mean across all parties, and Owen mentioned the social media, but certainly the level of abuses in some cases for politicians is fair game, but not their families. And this has leaked into, you know, the social media to attacking family members and all that. So, like, if we're trying to encourage a wide variety of people to come into politics, we do have to actually look very closely at how politicians are treated from all parties, and also that their families aren't fair game. There's no reason under the sun why a member of the public should be attacking a member of a TD's family.
When we heard the words that Owen Murphy used, that he used to go for his jogs on the beach as a coping mechanism. I mean, if that's where we are in relation to Irish politics, that, you know, trying to sort of shake off the terrors of the day. And I think he explained it fairly well at the end. You know, everyone can be in a room and everyone can sit around a table. But, you know, how that then plays out on social media it's a very different
thing. OK, Niamh, thank you very much for that war reaction to this later on. And thank you to Kevin Doyle and Kevin Humphreys. I see Paul Reynolds is just reporting that a former Sinn Féin councillor has been charged with the murder of David Byrne at the Regency Hotel in Dublin 5 years ago. Jonathan Dowdall from the Navan Road in Dublin was remanded in custody custody by the Special Criminal Court until next month. Let's take a break.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.